be happy. In every life we have some trouble.
Hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and I thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. The topic of today's show is, what does it mean to be a mean mother? Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. This week, we will highlight the topic of what does it mean to be a mean mother? And I'll get back to that in a minute and why this is sort of an interesting and timely topic. The number at which to reach us today is 649-9737, 649-9737. As you know, Mental Health Matters to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all of the past shows, by logging onto my website, mentalhealthmatters.web.officelive.com. I am happy to send you a link to my site if you email me at yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. You can get my email by logging on to www.wrir.org. It's all a full circle. Also, if you do get onto my website, or if you can email me, feel free to send me your comments and questions. Maybe even tell me what you'd like to hear on a future show. For today, as I said, we're going to highlight the issue of what does it mean to be a mean mother? I don't know if any of you have been listening to the media lately, but there is this woman, a woman of Chinese descent, who's married to a Caucasian American man, and they have two girls. And this woman wrote this book about her parenting style that was very severe. Sort of a memoir, and she kind of put her thoughts out there and how she sort of learned through the experience. And people went crazy on this woman. She got death threats because they were so outraged at the idea of how mean she was to her girls. Now, that said, and I don't know how mean she was to her girls, and I haven't read the book, I do think there is a debate that stays very pertinent to all of us and comes back around in each generation, which is, are you supposed to be strict or are you supposed to be lenient? What's the best parenting? My guest today is Debbie Minton. Debbie is a school psychologist who has been lucky enough to now be a retired school psychologist. She started that job in 1974, so she's got lots of experience. And not only does she have lots of experience being a school psychologist, but Debbie lives to tell the story of having parented four girls of her own. Debbie, thank you for coming, and welcome to Mental Health Matters.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So I'll get right to it. What does it mean to be a mean mother? You said to me that if you do not demonstrate the very behaviors that move children to think you're mean, and or that if you're doing those behaviors, you're probably exactly what you need to be doing in order to be a good parent. What do you mean by that?
Well, being mean is, well, it used to be it and continues to be a really terrible playground thing to be called. If you're mean, it means you hit people, you're not nice to people, you don't let people have their own way. You're not somebody that someone wants to spend time with, to play with, to invite to your birthday parties. So when your kid turns around to you and says, you're mean, you're the meanest mother in the whole entire world because you won't acquiesce to whatever they want, it means that you are standing up for your own values and for what you think is right rather than caving to what your child wants, that you're running these things through your head and looking at them with your experience and with your
wisdom.
with your wisdom and with your values and life experiences. So you're looking at what the child would think would be mean in their, you know, very limited life experience what they want right away, the immediate gratification that children want.
Because children are impulsive and children are labile and children, it's mm-hmm. correct. So if you're going to take your cues about how to be mean or not to be mean from your children, you probably have lost your course as a parent.
Pretty much. I mean, if your child wants to, you know, if your eighth grader wants to stay out till midnight because everybody else is staying out till midnight, and in your experience, this is not something that a 13-year-old should be doing, then the automatic response is, you're mean, you don't love me.
So, you know, let's kind of go to the everyday kind of parenting. So one of the things we do as parents is we want to motivate our children to do the best they can. We want to motivate our children to live up to their best self. And that's where this woman sort of got in trouble in this book, is trying to make her children into what she thought was their best self. So how do you respond if your child isn't doing their best? How do you motivate a child to try their hardest and sort of live on one side of the mean line or the other without going over it, so to speak?
Well, we're really up against a society that celebrates a lot of things that, as a parent, we're not happy with. You know, with the get famous rich. We look at a lot of people in the media now, and they're only famous because they're famous. And our kids see something like that as being, well, you know, you can get ahead without doing anything. All you have to do is wear the right clothes, go to the right parties. And our children look at that and don't understand that work goes into everything that you have to do. So in order to motivate, you know, children don't understand. They look at something on television and they see the finished product. They don't know what goes into it. They, you know, the teacher says, okay, go home and study. I want you to do your best on the test. And they think, they don't understand how one gets from point A to point B. How you can take a subject at school and incorporate it into your own knowledge set. So what we really have to do is make the child want to cooperate with the home and with the school, and to see that they can actually move to a level that they want, even though they don't know how to get there. You know, effort is not something that you see a lot of these days. And in showing a child that effort is necessary to go into something, one of the best ways is to let the child see you do something that's difficult. You know, it's very difficult. Most of us go to work. We run a home. These are difficult things. It's good to help motivate your kids to want to continue on working towards a difficult path by showing them that we do it as well.
Well, I think about so many parents who want to be their child's friend and they don't want their child to be angry with them. It seems as if, in my mind, to motivate a child to do their best, you have to demonstrate tremendous love for your child while you're also telling them what the expectations are.
You have to be very clear with your child about what you expect. If you have a child who has, you know, who has a skill, who has ability, you expect them to use that to the best they can. You know, it's not enough to just scratch something down for homework. You expect it to be at a level that that they can produce. So it means that you have to be involved in not necessarily in not doing your kids' homework, but making sure that you're there, that you can go over it with them and say, that's, you know, you don't have to correct them on everything, but just give them the feeling that they are better than than what they have shown you. Like, that's really something that you could do better. Why don't you try it again?
You know, so there's that that belief that you're not supposed to hurt your child's self-esteem. So if you have this notion that you're not supposed to hurt your child's self-esteem, and if you have this notion that you're supposed to be your child's friend, it is hard to say to your kid, you can do better than that. So what do you suggest for parents to be able to do to manage straddling that line between hurting their child's sense of self and really making their kids work harder, helping their kids to work harder?
Well, you can't really have a sense of self until you know what you can do. I mean, we're all born thinking that we're wonderful human beings. You know, most babies just love themselves. Most toddlers love themselves. But once you get a little older, the way that your self-esteem is built is to see how you can master the world around you. And if every time you do something, somebody stands up and applauds, every time you turn in any kind of performance, or, you know, there are kids who get applause when they eat. There are kids who get verbal applause when they, you know, tie their shoelaces. Well, the first time, yeah, that is accomplishing something. And it's really important to let a parent know that the kid has put in a good effort and is doing a great job at what they're doing. But if you don't earn, kids have incredible ability to detect when you're lying to them. So if they show you something they've done, or they make up a story about something they've done, they're putting it over on, you know, and they tell you, and you buy it by saying, oh, that's fantastic, because you should never hurt your child's feelings. They can't really believe you when you say that they're doing a good job, because right. They know they're not.
You know, I have three adult children and a daughter who's 16 and a half, and I am very honest with my child about what she's doing well with and what she's not. And at this point, because she's 16 and a half, I say to her, I'm okay with the level at which you're functioning, but I heard you say you want X, and at the level at which you're functioning, you're not going to get X. So if you want X, then trust my wisdom, you have to do A, B, and C to get X. So at this point, I cannot really be the wind beneath her wings, but I can continue on some level to set up an infrastructure for her so that I can continue to help her to reach her goals. She's only 16 and a half. I see parents really running away from that.
Well, it's a very hard thing to do. When your child decides that they want to achieve something, we really hate to see our kids fail. But I think most kids who have better reality testing about themselves than the parents do. I have, some of my kids have been competitive athletes and, you know, very academically competitive. If you tell them, you know, one kid, if you told her if she lost a game and you said, you really tried your hardest, she could give you chapter and verse every mistake she made. So my praise or my acceptance of what she did was never good enough. You know, she knew she hadn't done as well as she could. And I think that probably takes a kid's self-esteem away
yes.
from them in many respects, because they say, oh, I must be so weak that they have to lie
to
me.
That's the best that my mother thinks I can do.
Yeah, if that's the best
yes.
I can do, then boy, am I sunk.
I really do. I get what you're saying. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. My guest today is Debbie Minton. She is a retired school psychologist. And if you'd like to speak to her today about What does it mean to be a mean mother? Please call us 649-9737. 649-9737. So what are the developmental issues for a child whose parents do not make their expectations clear and consistent and include reasonable consequences? What happens to those kids?
Well, children who aren't parented often have to take over the job for themselves. They become anxious. They become worried. They show sleep problems. Sometimes they become exceedingly over-controlling with their own friends because they're the only people who can set boundaries for themselves. If there's nobody with a young child who can set a boundary for that child,
This is a very good point, Debbie, and I want to get back to it. In some ways, what you're saying is that if you don't parent your child, they have to do it for themselves, and that takes away their energy from just doing the things they need to do, which is learning and completing themselves. But we have a caller. Caller, this is Mental Health Matters. Debbie Minton is here today, and we're talking about what does it mean to be a mean parent. Do you have a question?
No, I just had a comment and a praise for a friend of mine. There's a woman I've known for a long time and knew her when her daughter was born, the oldest now of three kids, and she's now an adult. Incidentally, the two are two of the most ridiculously human, beautiful human beings you'll ever see. But when the daughter got out of college, she got a job in New York, and she was working for Martha Stewart. And, everybody was sort of impressed. And we know how hard, how tough Martha Stewart is. And Rachel will say, she's not as tough as Mom. And there were smiles and laughs all around. And the mother is a very loving mother, but she was also really exacting and has a child who looks at Martha Stewart as tough, but not as tough as we've all heard.
Well,
so I thought that was great parenting.
Yes, because that mother was clear, consistent, and had reasonable consequences. Well, thank you for calling.
My pleasure.
So there is a big... okay, here's the question, okay? What happens when all the other parents are acquiescing to, the latest fad or cable TV? I'm going to tell you what a mean mother I am. We didn't have cable TV until last year. And while my daughter whined about that a lot, it absolutely helped her development not to have that distraction. And there's absolute clarity in my mind that that's true. There are a million things I didn't let my kids do that other parents did, a million things. And everybody will have told you that I am the meanest mother. And while they're in my kitchen eating my food, learning to bake bread, and enjoying my company, am I enjoying theirs? So what do you do when all the other parents are acquiescing to the latest fad and you're not? How do you help kids through that?
Well, I think, I'm also one of those mean mothers. My kids didn't have video games. They were, and interestingly enough, my 29-year-old daughter thanked me this weekend for not getting her video games. But, it took a good 15 years for her to realize that it wasn't such a terrible way to grow up. Our lives are very full. We have a lot of things to do. Children have homework, they have activities. I don't know how they can possibly put anything else on their plate. So, when you've got the parent who, is acquiescing to the latest clothes and the latest, listening
distractions.
All the distractions that the kids are subject to, that, there's... It is not a terrible thing to say after that this is the way we live in our house, that we have our rules, we have our standards, we can't do it. If a child wants something that doesn't say, run it through your own head. If the child wants something that is the latest thing but is expensive, what they want, a smartphone or some other gadget, is there some... Sitting down and talking about the expense of running it, the time that it takes to run it, to reasonably discuss what the impact of this kind of thing is with a child, to help them reason through with you and to see your reasoning, oftentimes they don't really want it. They just want it so that they can have the same thing their friends do. If they're really, if they are really set on getting it, and it doesn't, and it's not one of those things that you really are dead set against, offer to split the cost of something. That's one sure way of making sure a kid doesn't actually get what they want, because few kids are going to say, oh, a smartphone, that's going to cost me X number of dollars a month, and it's going to cost me X number of dollars up front. It's amazing how many kids will back off if they have to take at least part of the responsibility
for that decision.
It
is definitely a way to help kids think through how much they really want something, is to give them financial responsibility.
Yeah.
One thing that I always think of, and I see it in a couple of ways, which is if you teach your child to negotiate with you, then they won't stop. If you make it very clear that negotiation is a swift process, that if you don't acquiesce right away, they should stop immediately because you're not going to do it with them, they learn not to do it. They learn. And here's one of my favorite examples, and I just will say this. I have this rule, which is that when we go to the pool in the summer, we don't go to the snack bar. We don't go to the snack bar. We don't buy anything at the snack bar. We're not going to the snack bar ever. So if we look away from the pool, you get starving, you can always go home, but I'm going to bring snacks to the pool. And my time at the pool is not going to be about you whining about what you want to eat. It's going to be about our enjoying ourselves. So after about two times when my daughter, who's 16 now, came to the pool when she was four or five, never once in the history of our then going to the pool did she ever ask me to buy a snack again.
Well, that goes back to your expectations known to your child. I will negotiate with any student or any child about anything that is negotiable. If it is dangerous or illegal or immoral, there's no negotiation. And I think by setting up those early lines, there's a line in the sand that you don't cross over, it makes life much easier. You know, it's not unusual for me to have said to a child who would step over that line, you've crossed that line, you know we don't discuss that. That is not negotiable, and they back down. But anything else is negotiable.
And so as we go back to that question, which is, you know, how do you deal with your kids, given that they live in a bigger picture and the other parents are acquiescing to those things, what I think is very important is that parents learn that parents really learn that they're not their kid's best friend, and that they have to stay true to themselves in what they think is right and not acquiesce to their kids and that actually makes kids feel better.
Yeah, I think knowing the boundaries is one way a child feels safe.
So
and safety is probably safety. Is the best thing we can give our children, to understand where it's safe and where it's not.
So we talk about how mean is too mean. What do you think, and I know what my thoughts and feelings are, but what do you think about physical punishment?
Physical punishment doesn't work. People will say, oh, I'll swat my kid if it's dangerous. They have to know for sure that it's dangerous, like running in the road. All smacking a kid teaches them is that you can't talk to your parent about certain things, and it teaches them how to swat somebody who's younger, smaller, or weaker. I've never seen physical punishment work in any way, shape, or form.
So, what punishment does work?
Depending on the child's age, one of my kids decided she was going to run in the road when she was about five. I said, no, you're not. And she said, yeah, I am. And I told her why she couldn't. And at the age of five, when she put her little toe in the road, she was picked up, bodily taken to her room, and left there for a time out, and she never questioned that kind of thing again. Physically removing a child works very nicely. Timeouts work very nicely when the child is that age. When a kid gets older, the logical consequences of their behaviors often teach them how, you know, the proper way to behave with a parent or in society.
Do you believe in grounding a teenager?
I think it depends on what has happened. And what do you really mean by grounding? None of my kids were ever grounded. If they stayed out too late, obviously they were too tired to go out the next day and the next evening because they'd been out too late. It kept them coming home at the time that I required. As they got older, when we could negotiate more, there was a rule that you called in at 11 o'clock at night. And most of the time they were in the house by then.
So I do believe that if you have a real relationship with your kid and your kid really respects you and loves you and you really love and respect your child and your wisdom is paid off for them as time goes on, that as teenagers, there doesn't need to be that kind of harshness. But for some children, there really are some big problems. They're really doing some things that are harmful. And they may really need some consequence that you can't wait till it's a natural consequence. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the consequence has to be stated beforehand so that the child is making a choice that, you know, if you do this, then this is what's going to happen. If you fail your exams, then you will be in studying every night. You are going to get a tutor, and we are going to work with you. And you will not fail because you have too much ability to fail. If the child then chooses to not study, to not, you know, to cut classes, to not go to a test when they have it, and therefore pull a zero or not hand an assignment, so pull a zero, then you're probably dealing with something much bigger than just a kid who's rebelling because they're not feeling that you're listening to them. If you haven't set down the early groundwork, then you're going to find things like that. I mean, parents always get praised for when their kids do well, but we always get blamed when they don't do well. And sometimes it's not what the parent does, it's the child. And, you know, children act out for many reasons, and even people who fix with their kids will, through no fault of their own, have a kid whose temperament is to push back harder, to struggle harder with parental expectation. I think at that time, you know, the kindest thing to do is to get the child into therapy, to speak to a guidance counselor.
So in other words, to get some help.
Getting help is something you can't always blame yourself for what the child does.
Well,
so you have to get help.
Right.
And the child needs to get help to see why they're pushing back so hard.
Every child is different.
Oh,
and we
absolutely
need to have different skills. Sometimes the skills that worked for three kids don't mm-hmm. work for one. And getting some help. You said something the other day while we were discussing this that I thought was interesting. And it's the last thing we're going to say, so because we only have a minute left. So if you do go get some help and a parent makes a commitment to make a change in their parenting and tries it once and says it doesn't work, what do you say to that?
You have to give it a chance. You have to. If the kid turns around and curses you out the first time you say, "I told you to come back into the house and stay here," you can't throw your hands up and say, "Ugh, I tried.
I tried. They didn't listen.
You have to be consistent in all the changes you make with the child.
So clear, calm, consistent parenting. Reasonable consequences. You're not your kid's best friend. This is what goes into being a proper mean parent. Debbie, thank you for being here today. Next week on Mental Health Matters, we're going to go back to discussing the things that happen to children who live in divorced families and the ways in which to prevent the problems that could be long-term. This is Gail Moskowitz, and thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you worry.